welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
Hello, this is Jessica, and I'm here with
Stacy.
And we have some very special guests today from Grindhouse Radio. Would you like to introduce yourselves?
Woo-hoo! Finally. All right, Brimstone and Zambo from the Grindhouse Radio are here at Turn the Page at the Syosset Library.
Did I say Grindstone?
No, you said
Grindhouse. You said Grindhouse.
Okay, good. I was just about to like kick myself. I'm like, of course. Like, I choke up right now.
No.
The most.
When she was searching. That's what she was searching for.
I think it auto-corrected. So Google, you know, when it's like, did you mean it? Auto-corrected me to Grindstone, and I'm like, why am I not finding this? Because this isn't what I'm looking for. Anyway,
Google me this. How are you wrong, Google? Anyway.
All right. So back to introductions.
Yay.
Hi, I'm Steve. I'm Zambo from the Grindhouse Radio. And Brim obviously was very loud and proud. But hey, man, we're in a library. What are you doing?
Oh, we're not supposed to talk loud.
Yeah.
Be quiet.
You can at least be normal.
Turn the page.
No.
Hi. Say hello to Maddie. Maddie is our events coordinator for the Grindhouse Radio.
Hi.
So she's joining us today. And yeah, we're here with Jessica and Stacy. Yes. And they're absolutely fantastic. And they're hosting us. They gave us some slurp juice. It's wonderful. With your Fortnite party, right?
We had a Fortnite party with our teen librarians last night.
The teens department.
Yes.
It was last night.
It was no wait no
it was
I don't
like
see
last week.
It was well whenever this airs, it's going to have been in January, January 29th. So that was Monday night. I can't keep track of the days. I'm sure
That's
everybody. Can.
Hold on a minute.
28th.
Tuesday night.
It was on a Monday night?
Yes.
Okay.
Monday nights.
It's always
Monday
on
night's
Monday.
A good night.
It is good.
Everybody
night.
Does things on Mondays.
Yeah, like us.
You know what's even better? Thursday night. That's when you can hear the Grindhouse Radio on iHeartRadio. Yeah. Oh, sorry. I didn't. I'm just so used to the self plucking. Wrong show. All right.
No,
right.
But that answers one of my questions, which was I was like, iHeartRadio, because I kind of looked up your website and stalked all over it.
We did. Definitely both looked and we saw all of the
that's
cool
fair.
The
that's
cool
fair.
Things that you've done and the cool guests and
very cool.
That's fair. That's completely fair.
Well, since Zambo always does it on the show, you want to let everybody know where they can find us?
Sure. Well, obviously you're hearing us right here, right now, but just in case if you can't, you can catch us on the grindhouseradio.com, iTunes, iHeart, Spotify, Spreaker, Stitcher, Podbean, Pocket Cast, Mix FM, Cyber FM, the Sunflower Network, and the Earplug Podcast Network.
And there are a whole bunch of others that we don't know who they are, but thank you for airing us.
Basically, because of the RSS feed, to get technical for a minute, which is that link that all the episodes are loaded up to, for those who do not know, it's basically publicly available. So it's on. So if you guys have it on an RSS feed, it's basically available on places that you may not know that you have it. Like we may be on a Russian podcasting website, and we may not know. Just for pure example.
Dash, VR, Dash, or something, or something. So anyway.
Duh.
So thank you. Thank you again for coming. So we were connected. We run a comic convention called SciCon. And Maddie contacted us to talk about getting involved. And we were very, very happy to hear that you were interested. But this isn't the first time I've met Brim.
Right.
So I've been involved in
LA PopCon,
which was a Long Island's first
Long Island Libraries and School Librarians Pop Culture Convention.
Yeah,
I think that's like the full name.
What was really cool about the LI PopCon is for people who aren't aware of it. First and foremost, librarians are your friends, and librarians are probably some of the smartest people on this planet. Fact of the matter is these the PopCon was an opportunity for the librarians to kind of get together and really get involved in the pop culture community and to try to bring that to the libraries. I was there in coordinates with the Stan Lee Foundation, because I'm one of the celebrity spokespeople for the Stan Lee Foundation.
Nice.
So that was why I was there, to talk about literacy with children in by form of comic books and graphic novels and so forth. So that was what I was there for. But you guys had, like, I mean, there were so many different areas of you know, like pop culture there was insane. Arts, you know, and so forth.
Yeah, we Long Island LI PopCon was created in mind that you know, librarians were all big geeks. When we want to research something, we research the back and forth of it. The back and forth of it. You know, so
all of it.
All of it. Everything.
Oh my God, I'm in trouble.
Yeah. Geek culture, pop culture, I think it's always been in libraries, but sometimes, you know, librarians, whether they're not as aware of what's out there, aware of what people want, you know, they need to connect and they need to figure out how to get it into their library or different ways to work with what's out there. And that's where we came in. And it was two glorious years of talking about it.
Wow. That's actually awesome.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. I for some reason, I think maybe it was something else I did also within there, but I was there and I'm like, why do I feel like I did this a lot longer? It's crazy.
Well, I mean, since that though, we are SciCon here at Syosset mm-hmm. Library. We had our first SciCon in 2017.
I
always say the wrong year. That's why I'm looking at Stacy. And
it'll stick eventually.
We had a decent amount of people. I think it was pretty successful. But library conventions have really taken off. And I think have you done work with Marissa Lieberman?
Yep.
I think.
Yep. I dealt with Marissa. That's I'm trying to remember what library. That's upstate, right?
She's in Jersey.
Okay.
Yeah.
South Jersey. Orange. Yeah. Orange.
Yeah. South Orange. I've done MinCon.
MinCon is
what
great.
What do you call it? I've done a bunch of library. Yeah. MCon every year I've done.
Nice.
I've been a mainstay. And as a matter of fact, Zambo and Kim and Tom from GHR, you know, for the last couple of years have joined me there. And, MCon, you know, we've had a fantastic time there. You know what it is, you know, yeah, we do some of the larger conventions all around the country. We do, you know, New York Comic Con and San Diego Con and Wizard Worlds and stuff like that, where we're signing and we're meeting thousands of people. But it's nice to come to a smaller show, a more intimate show, mm-hmm. and have the opportunity where maybe you don't have a couple hundred people waiting on a line, and that's okay, because now you get to spend quality time and meet the fans, get to know people, meet people who haven't become fans, and become fans after they get to meet you. Am I correct?
Absolutely, and I honestly like the fact that we're doing it also on our home turf.
Oh,
so
yeah,
that
absolutely.
Way, we not only do we get that small feel of meeting a small amount of people, but being intimate with more, like, I guess being more intimate in such a smaller range, we get to do it at home, and I think that just that adds a little bit of nuance that you don't really get anywhere else.
Right, and don't take it the wrong way where I'm saying smaller.
Yeah. No, it's we've been to the Javits Center.
Yeah.
No, we go to Comic-Con, so
scale-wise.
To see like that, it's just like, you know, we don't have a giant thing for conventions. We have our small meeting room,
exactly.
That's community
groups.
But that's fine,
because as much as I love
you don't need a big room to have
time. And we see, you know, Marissa, I believe, was one of the first people to bring a small a library convention to Long Island, at least mm-hmm. to Nassau County, with her first TashaCon.
Yes, TashaCon. I think I did TashaCon too.
Yes, I think I remember seeing you there.
I think I did TashaCon too.
And it was really nice because, you know, a lot of us are now coming into the library scene. And I remember being, you know, like first beginning my library career back in like 2002, 2003. And like everyone was like, how do I pronounce this manga title name? And I'm like, sinking into my chair, like, I know how to pronounce it, but I'm not going to say, because, you know, it's like you didn't, but you know,
educate the children.
But that was
come out of the closet,
adults.
Jessica.
But that was, yeah. I've never been that shy about the fact that I'm like a huge manga anime nerd, but kind of, you know, you're starting your big girl job or big mm-hmm. person job, and you want to, you know, you want to be running with the big people. Sometimes you hold back.
It's true.
But there's say it's more of like going back to pop culture and libraries. It's more mainstream now.
Yes,
people are more absolutely. Like, oh my god, you love Marvel? Like I do too. Oh my god, Chris Pine, Chris Hemsworth, Princess, because he's part of it too.
Well, even if you're getting into it through the Chris's,
which is it that I love the most?
Yeah,
the
I'm
one
like,
with the C.
It's the C. It's the Hemsworth or the Pratt.
I like all the Chris's. All the Chris's. I'm not. I'm not. I'm not a. I'm not a Chris.
a Chris hater?
I'm not a Chris hater.
Good.
Are you a Marvel or DC?
It really depends on. I used to be so much more DC, and now I'm more Marvel, and now
it's because of the movies.
Well, Marvel does better movies. DC, I like better for TV show. Even though I started to really hate Gotham, that's a whole side conversation. But comics wise, DC growing up,
I feel so. When I was younger, it's really interesting because like I always think of mythology in comics. I'm a huge mythology person.
Okay.
So when you think, yes, thank you. We've established that, Stacey.
Sorry.
It's cool.
We're all nerds here.
It's comfortable.
Hold on a minute. I don't know about all that.
Shut up, nerd.
When you think about the pantheons, whatever you want to say, of the different universes, the DC, they're more like, I guess, like the Greek gods when you really want to think about it. You know, they've got these great powers. Their weaknesses aren't. They don't have a lot of weaknesses, even if they do. I mean, Superman. I'm like, dude, kryptonite. Come on. You know, what's your weakness, really? But you know, you enjoy them, and I liked the triad of, you know, Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman. But then when I started really thinking about Marvel and the X-Men and all of the characters, it's more like the heroes of mythology. Mm-hmm. They're more like the everyday man, everyday woman, everyday person who gets power and greatness is thrust upon them. And I feel like there's a lot that's relatable about that. And I think that that's kind of what's tipped me towards Marvel.
Gotcha. Okay.
But I'm not a DC hater.
Well said.
Well said. Well spoken. If you're talking about mythology, the Brimstone of the Borderhounds comic book. Stop. Well, it's Mayan mythology.
I have control of the board in this podcast and stuff.
Yeah, based the character after Mayan mythology. So, pretty cool. But anyway, yeah, so Marvel, I'm more of a Marvel guy.
Well, yeah. You know, you've been basically ingrained into that whole, like, ecological system that Marvel has without essentially being in a Marvel comic book without having, I mean, you obviously have your own line.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Listen.
You know what I mean. I'm not trying to bring you down. You know that.
Listen. What? I'm part of the Marvel Universe.
Okay.
I was friends with Stan.
Okay.
That's all I got.
That's fair.
Matter of fact, we're here today, and the reason why I'm here today is because I did not go to LA. I was asked to go and do the Stan Lee event that's going on today. We're recording on the 31st.
Oh, nice.
So it's at the Chinese Theater. So I was supposed to be going to that. And we were doing this, and I had other things going on, so I had to decline. But yeah, no, a huge event. So I'm wishing them well. Hopefully, they're doing a fantastic job. Mm-hmm. I know they are. Entertainment Earth, who is one of our sponsors, also did their event. They've got the gift boxes and capes on every single one of the chairs. They set it up. It's beautiful. Yeah, it's really sweet thing. Yeah. Really sweet thing. I'm very upset that I couldn't be there because, you know, Stan was very near and dear to me. You know, we've known each other for a long time. And at the end of the day, it was a major loss. But what do you call it? You know, his memory lives on. And he did a lot for this community, you know?
Yes, and he really lived a fantastic life.
He did. He's a New York boy.
Yeah.
And I know that because if you ask one of my uncles, my dad's younger brother, specifically, shout out Uncle Paul.
What up, Uncle Paul?
He remembers Stanley's old apartment address in the city because he used to be a client of my grandfather's, of the pharmacy my grandfather used to own.
Oh, wow.
Stanley Lieberman.
Mm-hmm. So my fun fact about Stan Lee that I always tell people was, so when I was like 8 and I used to watch the Spider-Man and His Friends cartoon, scared me. But
what?
Well, wait. Stan Lee.
Yeah, who?
Stan Lee.
Because of Spider-Man?
No, because... And I didn't really, I don't think I was reading his, so he would do like a little recap at the end and then like a preview to the next episode.
Yeah.
And he was so intense that I felt he was yelling at me. But it took me
God, maybe I shouldn't I better quiet down.
No,
I've grown
out of it. What I understand now is he was just, he loved the story so much, and he loved it so much that it was intensity, yes. It was excitement, it was happiness.
Absolutely.
And like, you know, while I was like, you know, I'm like, who's this crazy guy who's yelling at me? Like, you know, like as the more I got to know, like I'm excited about it too. I yell about Spider-Man sometimes.
Me
no,
too.
I don't, okay. Stacey's.
You don't.
I don't.
If you do, you don't yell about him to me. Oh. He's actually, I love Stan Lee, but I don't love Spider-Man. It started because I'm a huge arachnophobe, so it started because of that. And I was like, now, yeah. And then I liked other characters, but now I like him again as I'm reading, more of the backstory and info.
Very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm sorry. Don't mind me. I was just making him. We have our little things during when we do the show.
Little things
to know when I can't hear myself.
Please turn me up.
I'm taking notes.
It's fine, don't worry. We should have like a video set up for you controlling our board because we clearly don't know how.
What I'll do is I'll help you guys out at the end of the show and I'll see what it looks like when it's at an ideal middle of the road level, so that way you guys know you take a picture of it and then you'll know that's what we need every single time. Before we start the show.
So let's talk a little bit about your podcast and how you guys all came to it and what you guys do.
But why is it Grindhouse?
Well,
that's my main question.
That's a very good question. So,
random name generator. No, I'm just kidding. That wasn't it.
So, okay. I've been around for a long time. The Brimstone brand and the name has been around for a long time. Yes. And what do you call it? I had thought for years I wanted to do my own show. I didn't really know much about podcasting. I knew, I wanted to maybe do some radio because for years I've been on the other side of the mic. I figured, why not, do something? I can talk. Obviously, everybody knows that. I can talk, and I can talk for hours. So I considered doing it, and I thought, I'm always on the grind. I thought it would be a really cool thing, the House of Grind, so the Grindhouse Radio. I didn't want to say podcast per se because everybody's familiar with the word radio as to where people are afraid of the word podcast, as I'm sure you people know.
I think when we first started talking about it, people podcast, what,
especially older,
definitely.
Oh, yeah. Extremely.
Yeah.
Well, you're the new wave kind of coming in.
Yeah.
And the people that have been here prior.
Exactly. Established. But then when you're just it's like a radio show, they're like, oh, okay.
Then they get excited.
And then you have to download it, and they're like.
What?
Oh, okay. I mean, there are people who are savvy like that, but sometimes, whatever. Like my parents, for instance, they're like, so it's like what? I'm like, it's like a radio show. They're like, so it's on a station? I'm like,
but it's on the internet.
Station, you guys have won Best Station on Long Island several
2 years running.
Yes.
Three years running. I didn't know if it was announced or not.
2017, 2018, 2019.
That's right.
So that was pretty awesome. Going back to the original question,
yes.
I had the idea for the Grindhouse Radio originally. I bought the URL for it. I had stuff set up for it. And I even started putting together the website for it. That was when I was doing a lot with Hound Comics Inc. That was another company of mine. And Zambo and our other partner, Kim, wound up coming in and they were interns for me. They were fresh right out of school, finishing up Farmingdale and Steve with CSB.
CSB and Blacktown's College.
And at the end of the day, I knew they both had background in broadcasting. And Zambo, as much as we joke about it, he is actually brilliant and fantastic with what he does. And Kim is a fantastic, fantastic creature. She does a million three different things.
I did listen to your baking cookie song.
Oh, did you hate it?
No. It was cute.
It was fun, right?
It was fun. I liked it. I was like, I don't know what to expect. And I'm like, oh, this is pretty catchy.
It was fun the first time.
Yeah, what?
She was in the other room listening to us record the vocals for about 8 hours straight. So she really doesn't have as much of a nuanced liking as we all do.
There you go. So knowing that they had the broadcasting background, we said, all right. I said, what do you guys think? I had this idea. Do you want to try to maybe do something together? And everybody was game for it. And we sat down. Steve brought in.
I used to do bar trivia.
Yeah.
For a little while, and that was a blast. It was so fun.
We love
fun
that.
As heck.
We do.
And I had a bunch of equipment that I used to record at home. I actually had a smaller board like this instead of the 12 inputs you guys had. I had a 2 input, and it was like a little 1-foot by 1-footer, and I used that for the bar trivia, and I brought that in. I had a microphone that I put in the center of a table, a little bit bigger than this. And it was just myself, Brim, and Kim. We just sat there in a big echoey office, and we just spoke for, I think it was about 45 minutes. And then did we send it to a few people, if I'm not mistaken?
No, we did a full hour.
Okay. And then we were just like, this sounded pretty good in our ears. And then I think we sent it to a few random people that we knew, and we're like, hey, what do you think? And everyone was like, that's great. Just, make it sound better. And we're like, quality-wise, we're like,
quality.
Okay. that yeah. sounds great. So then we just kind of started working our way slowly, and then four years now later, here we are.
Yeah.
So yeah.
It was when I tell you, I mean, we grew in leaps and bounds. Also, you know, one of the positives is that I have a lot of friends, a lot of connections.
Yes.
So one of the big positives that we had a little jump start from was the fact that, you know, we had our intro.
We did.
You know, our intro is everybody that's on there gave us their names and dropped before they even heard the show.
Yeah.
Including Stan.
Yep.
All right. Wow. Nichelle Nichols.
Excelsior.
I mean, you know, exactly. a ton of people who, Excelsior. You know, they said, listen, Brim, we know if you're a part of it. It's going to be good. Nice. We trust you. Mm-hmm. So our theme song's done by Bumblefoot, one of the guitarists from Guns N' Roses.
Yep.
Awesome.
What do you call it? He was there for about 7-8 years, and yep. he's a solo artist. Amazing.
Our theme wow. song is done by Chris Crosby, who's one of our tech guys.
Well,
there.
and that's cool too.
It doesn't matter who, if it sounds good.
It is.
That's all that matters.
You know what? We were really grateful because you know, some of the people who talk about doing library podcasts, you know, when I was doing some of their mm-hmm. panels, they're like, oh, just go on, you know, the royalty free music and you'll go crazy for hours and hours trying to find the right thing. And then we were just like, Chris, you work here and you're a musician. Do you have a riff? And he's like, yeah, how about this? And we're like, okay, no royalty free. This sounds right.
Yeah, that's fine. That's totally an acceptable way to do it. I know people that have made their own intros or have gone through friends or have even paid people like on Fiverr or anything like that for an intro themselves.
Otherwise, it would have been myself and Lisa Hollander going, do-do-do-do-do. I love God. Books. I love to read.
Thank you,
Well, that
Chris.
Would have been good, too. So,
but the intro can also shape the show.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's
which
one
is
thing
not
too. You would have been you would have had another type of format at this point.
And we would have had no listeners.
You say
you
that.
Never know.
You
never
say
know.
That.
That's
you
true,
never bring
that's
yourself
true.
Down in that end.
Yes.
To this day, we still get amped up when we do the show mm-hmm. and having the intro play. And we've started playing. I think you've started moving, you know, other names in and
yes,
switching
I've
it out a little
every
bit.
Every year,
and there.
I keep some core names in, but I always rotate a few out. So I think we're on now the almost the fourth iteration, and we're still working on the fourth iteration of the intro, where it sounds exactly the same at its core, same background music, same type of intro, but the names that you hear, like this is Stan Lee, this is Nichelle Nichols, like these names get
Staple
rotated
names.
Around. Yeah.
Yep.
What? Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So, you know, essentially that was square one. Two, even though, you know, we have amazing chemistry together, the three of us, It helped. We wound up. We needed guests. We need. How do we? People are people going to listen just for us? Yes, I think they will. But we need a little bit more. So we weren't able to do guests right away because
we
didn't have the capability.
I think we went about 4 or 5 episodes in. So we were about a month, maybe a month and a half in before we were like, hey, we can have guests on. And then you were like, yeah, we could do that. And I think our first guest was over Skype. And that was Kimberly Lehmans.
Yep. Kim Lehmans from Top Model.
Yes, Top Model.
And Walking Dead.
Also The Walking Dead. So this was before she was in Walking Dead.
We've got so many Walking Dead fans in this library.
Yeah, so to hear that. What was her name in The Walking Dead again? I forget.
I don't remember. Do remember? She was a small character on that.
Yeah,
but
is
I mean,
she dead?
Oh, yeah. No, actually, she's not dead.
Oh.
She didn't die on screen, so you never
she
know what happens.
She disappeared and then came back and then left again, like her character left again
or
something.
It was
like
just she was on a couple episodes.
Got
but
it.
She, what do you call it? She's been around a long time.
That's
what do you call it? We've had Stephen Ogg on the show.
Mm-hmm. I know, I saw that and I was like, I hate you.
Yeah. Oh.
But I love you. I love you.
Vincent
no, because I was
you know,
like, this is so cool. I was like, oh, he's on this. Okay. Oh, I watch that.
And then obviously, as we're recording, we actually have Charles Martinet on as well, who is the voice of Mario and Luigi and everything.
And you've had, was it Maurice LaMarche?
No,
it's not
Maurice
LaMarche. It was somebody who from Adventure Time, John DiMaggio.
Oh,
right?
John? No.
I was like,
is
it Bender?
He's Bender.
He's
Bender.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You might have
Bender.
Seen. I know
Jake.
John.
Okay, that
I know
could
John.
Be. Okay, that could
him
be.
Him and
that.
I did a panel with each other at AwesomeCon. I hosted his panel. Yes.
We had Olivia
I love
Olsen.
Him.
Olivia Olsen gave us a drop.
Oh,
who
cool.
Is
Olivia
Olsen.
I know Olivia too.
Yes.
You know, there's a lot of people that I'm very close with and friends with that they just don't have the time to do the show.
Right.
Like, you know, Michael Rooker, if you're familiar with Mike Rooker, you know who he is.
Yeah.
Okay. So Rooker is a very close friend of mine. And, you know, he's just so swamped all the time. We haven't been able to just lock him down.
Yeah.
You know, the same thing with Norman Reedus. You know, it's like, if I can finally get him, I'd be like, all right, brother. I'm just going to grab you.
Just like ride his motorcycle over. Yeah.
But, you know, but that's the thing is, you know, our friendships, you know, first it was a lot, you know, with me and friendships. Mm-hmm. And now Steve and Kim have made a lot of connections now that they've been doing the convention circuits with me. And now they have connections and they're bringing people on.
No,
you know,
that's
so
awesome. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's cool.
It's funny because so we recently it aired, launched back in October when we did a podcast called The Future is Fan Fiction.
Oh, really?
And we had, so you want to talk about just making connections. My joke is, like, I'll kind of just go up and just talk to somebody. And we had some really good people. So you want to talk about educating librarians about pop culture and what's out there. Mm-hmm. So fan fiction is, you know, people write their stories within the sandbox of somebody else's
world. I say that as a reader
world.
Of it.
Yes. So what we wanted to do with that panel was let librarians know that, you know what, a lot of people have launched their careers from writing fan fiction.
Yeah.
E.L. James.
Yes, but, you know, that's one. Yeah. It did. Yeah. But, you know, so.
I hate to admit that I know that, but I
so did, you know, there was a series called The Lunar Chronicles, which was Sailor Moon fan fiction.
Really?
Yes.
Wait,
that
it is.
YA. Yeah.
That's actually,
I didn't know that.
That's fairly amazing.
Isn't that interesting?
Wow.
Yeah, ooh. I know, and I didn't know that either. Yeah. And so that started as Sailor Moon fan fiction. But what happened was, I was at New York Comic
Con. Sailor Moon fan fiction?
I love Sailor Moon.
You know, the voice of Sailor Moon is a good friend of mine too.
Yeah. No, really?
Yeah. She's been on the show.
I have to say, like, I still love Sailor Moon. If you want to, like, separate me from my money, put a Sailor Moon anything on it, and I'm like, I'll take
that.
So true. but anyway, so the people we had on it, we had a man named Matt Cox, and he wrote a play called Puffs the Play, which is I'm not supposed to say it. It's based on a wizard whose name rhymes with Schmary Lauder, and it's told from the point of view of the Puffs, which is the not so popular house in
the best house, whatever.
Yes, the best house.
I have no problem with those with that house.
But it's
particularly good finders.
Well, yeah, I went on Pottermore. I'm Hufflepuff. Dang it.
Yeah.
So basically,
the official.
Think of it as Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead with Harry Potter, where the background characters are the Hufflepuffs who don't get as much recognition, but they see all the crazy stuff that happens. So he wrote this play. So he was on it talking about how, you know, he was able to, I think it's like 5 years running at this point. It was supposed to be like a few weeks. Mm-hmm. Start his career through fan fiction. And the other one, are you Doctor Who fans?
Yes, actually.
Not me.
Not you?
I'm sorry.
It's okay. Don't worry about it. It's not for everybody.
No, it isn't.
I've seen a lot in my time. And Doctor Who scares me.
Sorry.
It's a little too campy.
I like camp, but, you know, camp can be great. But so there's this woman, Elisa Stern, and she does stop motion animation Doctor Who. And it's called Doctor Puppet. And she was walking around Comic-Con with two of the puppets. I think it was the 10th and the 11th Doctor.
Okay.
And I had just finally seen, like, people were talking about it. I saw the first few episodes, and I'm just like, oh, you don't happen to be the person who does those, do you? And she's like, that is me. And I kept her card. And years later, I contacted her, and I'm like, you wouldn't want to talk to librarians about fan fiction, would you? And she's like, why? Yes, I would. And she's coming to the next SciCon.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
That's awesome.
She'll be here.
Exterminate.
I love Daleks. I really do. I think that they're kind of cute.
As like you have one.
I do.
There's a red one on the show.
And I have a skirt that has pink Daleks on it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're going to demystify a Dalek, you're going to make it pink. Because that's got to be that's got to be a terrifying Dalek. Like, if you see a pink Dalek coming at you, run.
Depends on the shade. You're not going to run in fear. Yeah, my headphones are like bright neon pink. If you see like a pastel doll, like you're going to be like, "Oh."
So
like
we
a baby doll.
That's a doll that, you know, kills the person next to you and you go, "Oh, maybe I should go the other way now." Yeah.
But I have a costume, a red Dalek costume, and I walked around Comic-Con with a plunger and a whisk.
Yeah. That's a good way to go about.
See, I don't get that, but I'm sure you guys do.
Look at the arms.
The original props are literally a plunger and a giant whisk.
And I keep telling my husband, I'm like, really? Like, you just have to take them off the kill setting, and they're either there to bake you cupcakes or fix your plumbing, but hopefully, like, they're going to fix, they're going to make the cupcakes first, because you don't want them after the plumbing.
No, absolutely.
Making your cupcakes.
They're going to make some cookies.
They're going to make some
cookies. C-O-K-I-S. Anyway.
So you also have Power Rangers on your podcast, and we have so many Power Ranger fans at this library.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
It's a shame that our coworker, Ralph, isn't here.
Oh, I was like, there's two of them.
What up, Ralph? How you doing?
He loves Power Rangers.
He does. He,
who's
but,
his favorite Power Ranger, do you know?
Tommy.
Tommy. Is it?
Tommy.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Tommy.
He hasn't been on the show, but I know Jason. I spoke with Jason about doing the show. Maybe I spoke to him in November, but I'm waiting to hear back.
Cool. Stacey and I walked by him at Comic-Con.
Fighting game. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's working with them on the fighting game.
Yeah, he was signing.
Was I aware that we were watching?
Sometimes
I don't
like,
pay attention at Comic-Con. Sometimes I'm either A, trying to find other friends that are there, or I'm like, am I really going to go to this panel, or am I going to find food?
Power Rangers came out when my brother was probably about 4, and I'm 10 years older than my brother. And it's one of those things that I started watching.
All ages, though.
Where I'm like, oh, my God, what is this?
And
then
that's
I'm
awesome.
Like, this is awesome. But, you know, like, at first, you're just like, I'm not going to watch this, but I totally am, and I'm going to take you to see the movie, and...
Well, you could have done that because you're older than him. Like, I'm what, like a year or two older than your brother?
Yeah, you would have been watching it firsthand, not in like
ironic
way.
I dressed up as the Pink Ranger, Kimberly, like for Halloween numerous years. But I'd say like all ages because you had him, as I knock into the table, you had him watching it at like 4 or 5. Mm-hmm. You at 14 or whatever. And then with the like 5 million reiterations they have of like dinosaurs, whatever.
I mean,
things.
Tommy came back in a later season, didn't
he? Well, they all just actually, a bunch of them came back to do the, what is it, 25 years episode.
Yes.
Yeah, so I know he was back.
I didn't look into it yet.
Jason came back. What do you call it? Font. Jason Font was on it. Jason David Frank. Steve Cardenas. I don't think Aaron was. Catherine Sutherland was on it. And I think that was it in terms of my friends. I don't know who else was on
was,
there.
Johnny, so Johnny Young Bosch.
Oh, no, John Young Bosch. No, Johnny wasn't back for it. But yeah, Johnny's
he's
my
like
boy.
My anime voice boyfriend.
Oh, yeah.
He was Vash
like
the Stampede.
I'm sure he'd love to hear that.
He was Vash the Stampede in Trigun and... I love him. And then he was a character, I think, named, was it Klaus, in this beautiful, beautiful series, which was, I guess, steampunk, called Last Exile, which is so worth watching. The sequel, not so much, but that one, it's just so beautiful. And
is it a movie?
No, it's a TV show. It's beautiful. And I was so tickled to see that he's still in the anime voicing game.
Yeah,
he's still doing a lot. I remember when he was doing, remembered Johnny when before I obviously was in this. I remembered watching Bleach. And then I realized
Bleach,
that he was Ichigo Kurosaki, and I was like, "Whoa, okay." Now I get a little bit more of a connection with this guy, and then I kind of figured out everything else he was a part of as I was working.
And
this
yeah.
is how tight we are, Johnny and I. So I was away filming. I was filming in L.A. for a movie it's called Preacher Six. And I had to throw that in there. But anyway, and so they were doing the show without me. And Johnny was doing me the favor to come on. He was away on vacation on a tropical island with his family. Okay? And he was having a problem. He kept messaging me. He's like, I'm trying to get them on the phone so this way we could do the interview. And he's like, I can't get them. Help me. You know, so when they were coming back at me at the same time, we know you're on set, but we can't get a hold of Johnny. It was the craziest thing. But they finally got him on, and they had a great time together.
It was a solid interview. It was good. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But he was away with his family. And he's like, I will find a spot, and I will get on. Yeah. We have, aside from the friendship value that people have gone above and beyond, you know, for us, the really cool thing is they want to come on the show because we have a fun show. It's fun. It's engaging. It's exciting. And we have a great listenership. So, people, we have so many people that they'll be in the gym. Like, I know you guys know Kel Mitchell.
Yeah.
Kel's
of
actually
course.
Supposed to be on next week. But Kel, the last time he was on, he goes, all right, Brim, you got to call me at this time because I have a little bit of free time. We could do it then, but I'm going to be in the gym. I'm like, you're gonna do this while you're on the treadmill, aren't you? And he's like, it could be, you know. But people, you know, they're like in between filmings, on set,
on the road,
you know, on the road. So you're getting these people are fantastic, and you know, I couldn't ask for better castmates and better friends, mm-hmm. you know, to come on and do this show with us and share it.
To add on to that too, we've had guests that come on that love what we do so much that they've started, when they go to their cons and sign at other cons, they are telling other people, you got to check them out. One major
awesome.
Name comes to mind, which is Richard Horvitz.
Oh, Rich Horvitz.
Who is the voice of Zim from mm-hmm. Invader Zim. Yes.
And he also did the little machine guy from Power Rangers.
Yes.
Oh,
what's his name?
I want to say
Alpha.
Alpha. Yes. Alpha.
If I'm gonna be a Power Ranger, I mean, I'm 4'11". If I'm gonna be a Power Ranger character, it's gonna be Alpha. If I'm gonna dress up. I think one of my favorite costumes of all time. At Comic-Con was there was a husband and wife dressed as Rita Repulsa and Lord Zedd.
Oh, yeah, I remember. Cool.
Yeah, and they were great. And every time you take a picture of her, she would like make it look face. Like she was screaming. It was great.
She's awesome.
Yeah.
What do you call it? The original Rita is gone.
Yes.
But the one who took her place is sweet.
Yeah. And it's fun to me.
Why I know these people.
People get involved.
Another very good friend of ours in Power Rangers is the original Zordon. Mm-hmm. So what do you call David Fielding who.
Nice.
Who I'm sure would be happy to do your show.
Absolutely.
If that's a possibility, we're like jumping on that.
You got to do a phone call though.
Like, that's fine.
Not only that, I would just want to like take a video of Ralph getting that news because his son watches it.
Oh my god,
and
we're
he
so
rewatches
do it.
With his son, and he's like, oh, I love this, all this one and this one, and I'm like, yeah, no, I only watched like the original one. Like, I don't know.
I did watch the one where Jason David Frank came back. It was on like these really really early in the mornings in the summer while I was getting ready for work, and I will like you know yeah I will. Wholeheartedly admit, I was like, "Oh,
was
Tommy's
like, no,
back!
They,
I'm watching."
When they had like the movies originally on like VHS with Green Ranger, I was like, "I'm on that! I own it!
Oh, yeah.
Playdate in my house!
Yeah, yeah, yeah!"
No, because like I was like, "Oh, this is cool! Like I could like because it was a way for me like as a young girl to be like, oh, hey, guy friends, I could watch this too.
Yeah.
Look at that."
That's true.
It's a good connection.
Bonding.
It's interesting. Things like that, they do bring people together.
It's true.
And this is a good place to kind of go. I mm-hmm. mean, you guys were brought together by pop culture.
Yep.
Yeah.
And we find people coming into the library being brought together by...
Are you saying like by pop culture or like by that they need books and then we find out we have similar interests and it's like, oh my God.
Yes, I'm saying both.
Also, if you do have the opportunity, you're in the Long Island area, especially since you're going to be right around the block on March 23rd, all right, Zambo Kim, myself,
right.
Tom Greer, the whole GHR cast and crew will be celebrating over at the Broadway Commons. With the last 2 years, this is going to be the third year in a row mm-hmm. that we do a huge giveaway celebration.
Wow.
We'll have probably between $15,000 to $25,000 worth of giveaways. We're yep. going to be hanging out there, giving stuff away, doing trivia, and meeting and greeting fans. We're going to do a free signing as always. And hopefully everybody will come out and hang out with us.
Yeah.
Very nice.
So hopefully we will see you guys there.
Yes.
Yes. It'll
be very cool.
Thank you
like
so much.
Me in casual clothes.
I think you should come in the library
just
outfit.
Feel like
it's
I'm
cute. Wearing. It's adorable.
Yes. Thank you.
All right. So we are going to close this chapter of
Turn the Page.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.
Go, go, Power Rangers!